Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, who is the light of the world. And because he is in the world, it is daytime for us. And while it's daytime, it's time to work, our Savior Jesus says. When you see the day come, and for some of you, that's not a pleasant experience. For some of you, you're not morning people, and so you don't like it when you see that transition from night to day. You like it when you wake up and it's already nice and bright and the sun is already shining. But if you're a person like me that has learned to enjoy that, maybe you don't take the opportunity as much as you should to see that transition. But it's a wonderful thing if that's your cup of tea. And a cup of tea is usually a good way to enjoy it, or a cup of coffee. To see that transition from darkness to light and to see that sun coming up and bringing light and life to the world again. There's been some times where I've seen it in wonderful locations, and those have really stuck in my mind. It's usually when I'm on vacation, and to see it from the Rockies is a wonderful thing. To see it when you're at the lake is a wonderful thing as well, too. But to see the spiritual light of the world come into the world and going from darkness to true light is truly a wonderful thing. Our Savior Jesus has wonderful things to say to us in his word today as we take a look at this fact that we live as children of light. And as Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, he says this. He says, not that you were once in the darkness, but he says, you were once darkness. To be in the darkness would be bad enough, isn't it? And he'll take us through what we were, what we are, and now what that means for us. But it would have been bad if he had just said, you were once in darkness. But he says, you were once darkness. Not just affected by the problem of sin, but we once were the problem. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. And that you have that once and now. And so there is a change. Once you were darkness, now you are light. And for the church in Ephesus, to those people that Paul had ministered to and who were very close to him, with whom Paul shed tears later on when he thought he would no longer see them because he thought he was going to die. To the church in Ephesus, they could examine their personal history, and many of them could see quite clearly, yes, I can see very in my personal history, very clearly, I was once darkness. For most of the Gentiles, that was the case. It wasn't hard for them to see. I was once darkness. Because how had they lived? They believed in false gods. They had worshipped not only the wrong things, but worshipped incorrectly. They had centered their lives on all kinds of wrong things, whether it was the pursuit of money or the pursuit of pleasure or the pursuit of any other kind of thing that might be good in and of itself, but if it's placed as the number one thing, left no room for God. Many of the Gentile believers in Ephesus had a problem with looking down upon others who were not like them. It wasn't just Jewish people who looked down upon people who weren't Jewish, but many Gentiles, if you were a Roman citizen, you certainly looked down upon those who were a second-class type of people within the Roman Empire. Once they were darkness. And it could have been very clear, and it should have been very clear to many of those believers that Paul was speaking to in the church in Ephesus that this was the case. When they loved to sin, and when they lived only to sin. When everything about them and their life was sinful. When we examine our personal history, I think that there are many of us that would be tempted to say, but me? There are some of you who were brought to faith later on in life, but I know there are many of us that are gathered here today that cannot remember a time when coming to church was not what you did. When was there a time? I was baptized very shortly after I was born. My children were baptized even closer after they were born. They don't know a time when they weren't coming to church. They can't remember a time when they didn't see me or think of me in the pulpit or conducting a worship service or think of the people who are gathered around them as family. But this is what God says through the Apostle Paul. He says earlier in chapter 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." He says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. No matter when we were brought out of darkness, from darkness to light, this is true of all of us at one time. We were objects of God's wrath. If that was true of King David, who said, like we can say, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me," it is also true of us. We have that sinful nature. And so at one time we were objects of God's wrath. And when we think of this darkness, when we think of not just being lost and stumbling in darkness, but being darkness, it's a wonderful thing to hear that God has brought us to light. "You are all children of light," he says. "No longer darkness, but now light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord." And as we live in the Lord, and we can remember our ugly personal history, we can rejoice in this fact, that our Savior Jesus came so that my personal history of ugly darkness, so that because I was born a sinner, and because I've lived a sinful life, Jesus came so that he could say, "His sinfulness place on me." And he did that not just for one sinner, but he did that for you and all sinners. Their unrighteousness, their wickedness, their rebellion, place on me. Every disobedient thought, every selfish, self-centered, self-serving action, every defiant, when you know what God wants and you do the other, every defiance placed on our Savior Jesus. And so now we have been totally changed. He says we are light in the Lord. Because Jesus, who took on us our wickedness, our rebellion, our sin, who took upon himself the guilt of the world, also then places on us his righteousness. He is the robe of righteousness that covers us and that makes us right in God's sight, acquitted before God, told that we are not guilty, told that we are clear and clean, forgiven and right before him. And then he creates in us that love, that trust, that promise of mercy, that love, that trust, that promise of forgiveness, that love, that trusts and believes that what he says is true, that he is the life and light of the world. And so he is our life and our light. And the psalm writer will often say, when they speak of God being our life and our light, "Of what shall I be afraid? Of what shall I be afraid?" And that's especially important when we see very many people, and we struggle with it ourselves, with times of uncertainty, with times when we don't know what's happening, when times when we feel like everything is out of control, to say, "Jesus is my life and my light. Of what shall I be afraid?" He holds my life in his hands. He has promised that he will work out everything for my good, for your good too. He has promised that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He has promised that you and I are connected to him. And in him is life and light and hope and peace. In him is forgiveness and life eternal. And that certainly makes a difference in the life that we live. The Apostle Paul was talking to the Ephesians and saying, you were once darkness. He wanted them to see how bad it was so that they would appreciate the light. You are now light in the Lord. You are connected to Jesus. And as Jesus is the light of the world, what was said about Jesus was also then said about those who believe in him, that we are to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the world. And that means living as children of light and living as those who lead others to the light. The Apostle Paul uses this picture of fruit, which is something that God uses again and again in the pages of Scripture. Whether it's in the Psalms, whether it's in the epistles or the Gospels, John chapter 15 is one of those sections. God uses this picture of fruit and bearing fruit quite often. And here the Apostle Paul says, live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. God created us in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, to do good works, the works that he prepared in advance for us to do. God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, to produce much fruit. And here he lists three categories. He speaks of goodness, and he speaks of righteousness, and he speaks of truth. And he says, find out what pleases the Lord. What is good in God's sight? What is righteous in God's sight? What is the truth in God's sight is what we want to be all about. And therefore, it makes sense for us to do exactly what God encourages us to do through the Apostle Paul, and that is find out what pleases the Lord. Not take a poll about what other people think, but find out what pleases the Lord. What does God say in his word about the sacrifices that are pleasing and acceptable to him? What does he say in his word about how he wants us to live? Well, he says, let your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And you look through the epistles, and you'll find encouragement after encouragement to live for God by loving your neighbor. And God speaks very clearly about what love for neighbor looks like. And that's important because one of the things that God speaks about is exposing the sinful deeds of darkness, which is not the way that the world would look at as love. The world will often say, let me be me and you be you. What I'm doing does not hurt you. What I'm doing is my own business. Why don't you mind your business? But that's not what God says. He says that we are to produce fruit. The fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. He says, have nothing to do with them. And maybe you can think of some Bible stories that remind you of that fact. For me, the one that always jumps out, have nothing to do with them, would be Joseph when Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, came and wanted Joseph to sleep with her. And what did he do? I can't do such a wicked thing and sin against my master and sin against God, right? He fled. He literally fled the scene because he did not want to have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, because he did not want to sin against God or against his master. Have nothing to do, the Apostle Paul says. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Find out what pleases the Lord. And so that means that we can't always talk that the way the world talks. Sometimes the world talks about meaningful relationships or alternate lifestyles or a woman's choice. But we can't talk that way. Do you mean fornication? Do you mean using God's gift of sex outside of marriage? Do you mean homosexuality? Do you mean abortion, taking a life that God has not given you the right to do? And so Paul says, expose the sinful deeds of darkness, the fruitless deeds of darkness, for what they are. Call them what they are. And Jesus was hated when he talked that way. He certainly was. Jesus had to say to his disciples, I testify that what it does is evil about the world. And he told his disciples, that's why the world hates me, because I testify that what it does is evil. God doesn't want us or others to be lulled into a false sense of security. And so he says, expose them for what they are. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so we don't want to fall into sin, but we also want to wake up those who are sleeping. And that's reaching out to those and leading others to the light. That quote is probably a good condensation of a good condensing of Isaiah chapter 60, where Isaiah wrote, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And I think especially when we have a unique opportunity that's before us, one that we haven't seen before, in how we respond to the uncertainty that's before us, and how we respond when we see the world around us panicking, right? When you see empty shelves, empty shelves, empty shelves. I'm not saying you can't go and buy the supplies that you need, but that your security doesn't come from the fact that you have 48 rolls of toilet paper at home. Your security and your hope for the future comes in the fact that you have a God that says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Yes, we can be uncertain in some things and not know what will happen in the coming days and weeks and months, but we can also do that in a way that gives God glory. Saying, yes, there are some very unsettling and difficult things that are happening, but I have this confidence. I have my God, and that makes a world of difference for me. You might not be able to interact with others in the coming days and weeks as much as you have, at least not face-to-face. We'll see what happens. But you certainly have that opportunity as you reach out to people over digital means and as you speak with your family and encourage them. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the one who says, I'm your life and your light, your hope and your salvation. Why should I be afraid? What can man do to me? We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And so God encourages us to live as children of light. And especially in difficult times, that's a wonderful opportunity to live your life to God's glory and for the good of others. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. What a wonderful thing that it is that Christ has shined on us. He's shone on us as a spotlight, showing us our sins and our need for a Savior. He's also shone on us with his beautiful face, a face filled with forgiveness and love and grace and mercy, a face that was forsaken by his Father so that you might never be forsaken. My dear brothers and sisters, you once were in darkness. Not only in darkness, but you once were darkness. But now you are in the light. And not only in the light, you are light. May you shine. Shine with God's grace. Shine with God's glory. Shine with his love. And shine with the confidence that your Savior Jesus shines on you. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen.